it. And that's really what the gist of his message was. But I thought, man, that's right on the money. That guy that posted that, he thought so too. And I thought I'd just share that with you right there. So we get our head, this world is get us our thinking twisted sometimes about how, you know, things ought to be as far as Christians, you know. And we're supposed to be a, which I'm going to preach tonight on, you know, the separation. The Holy Spirit separates us. He calls us to be a separated. It's not that we don't live in the world and go out in the world, but we're to be a separated from the world in a certain way. And that's, you know, that's just the reality of Christianity. And so that probably would go good with tonight's message, a little bit more so than today. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, complete in Christ. Complete in Christ. The message I want to preach to you this morning, Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. The Bible says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." Heavenly Father, thank you for your word this morning. Help us get our minds clear, our hearts right, ready to receive what you have for us today through the preaching of your word. I pray you speak to every heart that's here. You know every need, and we'll trust you for the outcome of that. It's all your business anyway. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Complete in Christ. The key verse is verse 10, which says that. It says, "Ye are complete in him." Ye are complete. Now, in my time, I've pastored a long time, been in church, got saved in 1987, was in a Bible preaching church, and actually even, you know, kind of felt this way myself. But, you know, over the years, I've noticed this. Sometimes people get, and, you know, we all probably been here. I've been there, like I said. We feel like we get distant from God. I'm talking about as church members. You can be even in the church. I mean, be in the church, and you're feeling like, you know, there's a coldness in your life, a deadness in your life, and you feel like, you know, I need to do something, you know. I need to do something. I need to get involved, maybe start some kind of ministry, a class, teach a class, something like that. I mean, I taught Sunday school class in our church when we got saved. And I'll tell you what, I had no business whatsoever teaching a Sunday school class. Had it to kids. I like kids, and I think I can relate to them very well. But I'm going to tell you what, spiritually, I had no business teaching a Sunday school class. I just didn't. But I thought, well, you know, maybe I'll, and don't get me wrong, I think, this is what I think. I think the Bible teaches this is clear. I think every church member, every born again child of God, every church member ought to be involved in ministry of some kind in and through the local church. Because Jesus works through the local church. That's how he did everything. I think every Christian ought to be involved in ministry somehow. You know, serving in the local church, edifying the body, building up the body of Christ. I believe that. Now, but the motive can be all the difference. I think that's what I'm going to talk about to you somewhat today. The motive can be different. Number one, everything that we do ministry-wise, and really I think as a Christian, if you really get deep enough, I think everything we do in life, period, we must be motivated by love for the Lord. We ought to love. If it's not motivated by love, you get off track. You know, you're just off track. And so, you know, a lot of times when if we're feeling empty spiritually, and if we feel cold, and we've all probably been there, if we feel cold and deadness, listen, there's something missing in our life, but it's not ministry. That's not what's going on in our life. It's something else missing in our life. I like that illustration keeps coming up to me, and about the last three or four messages, I can fit it in every single time about Martha and Mary. And Martha was cumbered about with doing something. She felt like her niche or ministry needed to be waiting on everybody, giving them food, and she complained because Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus. I've shared that with you the last couple of times. This is good. She thought she needed to do something. But Jesus said, and she complained to Jesus about Mary not doing anything. And Jesus said, "Martha, Mary has chosen that good part. What she needed to do was sit at the feet of Jesus." Huh? That's all she needed to do. What would have been more important? Fixing a meal? Huh? Doing the dishes? When you got Jesus sitting there in front of you, I mean, talking to you, teaching you, man, this was the most important thing. And so I think when we are filled with Him, filled with Christ, let me tell you what will happen. All the emptiness, all the coldness, all the deadness, the distance, it all disappears when we're filled with Christ. And then what happens? Ministry flows out from us then. Then it's in the right vein, right motive. Ministry is not a means to an end for us. It's not. We just need to be filled with God, see, and then we're complete. See, that's what that word complete. We're not empty. We're not distant. We're complete in Christ. In our text, it said in verses 9 through 10, it said, "For in Him dwelleth all," y'all know what all means, right? "All the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete." One of the songs we were singing, I didn't realize that we were singing one of the hymns we sang, it mentioned that being complete in there. I said, yeah, there, it fits right with what I'm talking about. We are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. 1 Corinthians 1:30, the Bible says, "But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." Man, that's everything. That's everything that we need. Everything for the Christian is right there. Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. It's all right there. And it said that is made of Him are ye in Christ, who God of God is made unto us those things. Amen. Ephesians 1:3 said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath," there it is, past tense, "blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." He's already given us all this. Already He's half done it. We are totally complete in Christ. And so to have Him, we have everything, and not to have Him is to have nothing at all. If we have Him, we have everything we need. And see, you know, when you look at the world, even in the world, we're always looking for something, man. We're trying to, there's this satisfaction. We got to get it. Let me buy more things. Let me make more money so I can buy more things. Well, we wouldn't want money if you couldn't buy nothing with it, right? What good would it be, right? Let me buy more things. Let me get more things. Let me do more things. Let me run here. Let me run there. Man, we're going because there's something missing, and it's Christ, huh? It's not that those other things can't happen, but it's not going to fill the hole that we have. It's got to be Christ. Just a few points I have for you this morning. Number one, the sin insufficiency. Now, there's not any sin insufficiency other than if you don't believe in the sufficiency of Christ, if you don't believe it. That's the sin. That's the whole sin. You know, Satan didn't believe it. Lucifer, when he was an angel in heaven, he said, "Man, you know what? I want something else. I'm going to exalt my throne above God." He wanted something else. He wanted to exalt his throne up. And so what happened, man? You know, he wasn't satisfied with that, and he wanted to take over. He thought he didn't need to have God. And then when he came down to earth, he tried to convince Adam and Eve that they didn't need God. I think Satan's still in that convincing deal today. I think he's still trying to convince people that they don't need God in their life. I mean, how many people in the world are living like they don't need God? I mean, man, they're running to and fro, acting like there's no tomorrow. They're living like there's not an eternal judgment that's going to be placed on the world, on them, without Christ. They're living like they're going to live forever. But you're not. You're not going to live forever. I got a call. Pastor Neil Wood, y'all know Neil's Peach. He's going to be preaching here, coming up here in December, and sooner than that, actually, one of them. But Brother Neil, I talked to him, and he said, "Hey, listen, would you pray for my niece's son? Got killed on a motorcycle, got killed. He was 20-some years old. He was on a motorcycle going to the doctor to have the doctor look at his foot that he had hurt in a motorcycle crash. And he ran into the back of a dump truck, broad daylight, hit the back of a dump truck, killed him. He's in his 20s. His mother's husband was killed in Iraq in the war. Now she does have one more son, but he said, you know, pray for the family. Spencer Wood was the man's name. Happened over here in Lynchburg. just last week, and he called me about that. But man, I mean, you know, we don't know if we got tomorrow. Man, I was coming up, Sherry went up to see her sisters and spend some time at the cabin, man, so I was batching it here for a few days, and so she left, and I said, let me pray for you, honey, bet you have a safe trip, and she prayed, and I said, well, I had to come down this way for something, I forget what, but I got in the truck, and I was coming around that curve down there after you pass the bar, and I was coming around that big curve, and here comes somebody in a Subaru Outback. Let me tell you, you got to watch them Subaru Outback drivers. Here comes somebody around the corner in a Subaru Outback and came right across right in that curve. I mean, so I didn't see them coming right away. They came over the yellow line, and man, they were heading right at me. And I'm telling you what, I jerked the wheel. But if they hadn't corrected, they would have missed the front of my truck, but they would have got me on the side in the back. They would have hit me if they hadn't. I don't know what they were doing, playing with their phone or what. But man, they jerked that thing. I mean, woo, man, my adrenaline shot up. That was a close call, man. You don't know. You don't know. We're not going to live forever. And so that's the lie that Satan is still spreading today, that people can make it on their own.
Amen.
No, we're not complete. We're not complete apart from Christ. He's complete. That makes us complete. And that's the missing link in all the world. People are always searching for something. I'm looking for the meaning of life. I'm not looking for the meaning of life. I have Christ. I know what the meaning of life is, huh? To glorify God, right? That's the meaning of life. Y'all on Wednesday night, y'all know that. Satan even tried to get, he went after Jesus when he had been fasting in the wilderness and when he'd been in the wilderness all that time. And he tried to get Jesus himself to believe that he didn't need God the Father. He said, look, you can bypass the cross. He said, you just come up here and bow down and worship me. He said, I'll give you everything that this world has to offer. That's the problem. That's the only thing he could have gave him, everything this world has to offer. And if you could gain the whole world and lose your soul, huh? What would a man give in exchange for his soul?
Amen.
The whole world. The whole world. If we could get the whole world, and we can't. I mean, none of us are able to do it, right? Solomon found it out, and he probably could have gained the whole world. He had enough wealth to get it all, and he was the wisest man in the world. Well, he said, listen, man, I'm telling you, it was Satan tried this, and he tried to get him forget God's will, bypass the cross, and he said, Jesus, but you know what he wanted? He wanted Jesus' worship more than anything. You know, we think about there's all kind of philosophies and isms that are in the world, you know, all these different things, world philosophy that says, you know, hey, you don't need Christ, just look out for number one. We understand that. We see that probably came out of that. They said, you know, you need rationalism. And rationalism and intellectualism is probably really close to the same thing, but that's just human wisdom. You know, some of the biggest atheists that ever have been in history or even in the world probably today are really pretty educated people. They aren't just some, you know, somebody that don't know nothing sitting out there saying, hey, you know what, I don't need Christ or I don't believe there's a God. These are people that, man, they're educated. Our universities are full of professors that are atheists, full of them. And they got all the philosophy and all the wisdom that the world has to offer, which isn't a hill of beans compared to the wisdom that God has to offer. And so the world is saying, hey, this is what you need, or philosophy. See, up in our verse, in our text, it said, but beware in verse 8, lest any man spoil you through philosophy. One, vain deceit. Vain deceit is, you know, that's the philosophy of the world that I'm talking about. Vain, it's because vain means that, you know what, well, we don't need God. We got it all figured out. You know, that's what a lot of people would say. Mysticism. Mysticism can come in all sorts of ideas, you know. Oh, even in Christians, we need a miracle. We need to have this miracle. You got them clowns on TV, man. Every time I turn on, flip through the religious channels, you know, send that seed money, brother. If you want a miracle today, all you got to do is send the seed money, and we're going to invest it in God's work, and God will send you a blessing. If I hear that one more time, I'm going to puke. I mean, you know, God, I mean, this is what they all say. And we're talking about speaking in tongues, all those extra things like that, that's something, you know, you got to have this going on in your life, or it's added to Christ, added to Jesus, that Jesus is not enough by himself, but you got to add something to that. Legalism, oh man, all the legalism, the Jews struggle with it, man, the dietary laws, we see it even in so-called, you know, Christianity things, man, you know, you got to say this many Hail Marys, on top of having Jesus died for you, we got to do this and you got to do that and you got to count on some beads and all those things. And the Jews, they wanted to recognize Sabbaths and holy days and moons and all those type things. That's the legalistic point of view that Christ is not enough. And then there's asceticism, you know. Well, you trust Jesus, but at the same time, what you got to do? You can't wear any fancy clothes. We got to wear all just plain clothes, and we can't have any metal buttons on them because that's too worldly. And you know, we can't drive around in a car, so we got to ride around behind a stinking horse pulling a cart, with his rear end looking at you all day. We're going to ride around in a horse, or we got to take something, and when we sin, we've got to take a scourge and whip our own self. There's people over, you know, down, whipping their own self because that Christ is not enough. He's enough. You know, we don't have to add anything to this. So sometimes it's flat out denial that we need Christ at all. But then the other side of the coin is that we have to have Christ, but we have to add all these other things to him. And that's the world just gives us lies, man. It gets our mind off the focus of the main thing, and the main thing is Jesus. You know what, Adam and Eve, boy, old Satan, he come down there and he got that old fruit, and he said, hey, look at this, it's good. Huh? Eat this, and boy, you'll be wise, and all these other things, your eyes will be open, which there was some truth to that. But were they satisfied? No, they weren't satisfied. It wasn't enough. Huh? It wasn't enough. That didn't satisfy. David, you know, David tried to fill the lust of the flesh. He saw Bathsheba and said, boy, this will be great. No, it wasn't great. I don't know how many concubines and wives he had. Solomon had even more than that. How come they had to have another wife, another wife, another wife, another wife? And then let's say, well, let's see, the wives aren't enough. Let's get some girlfriends, which is the slang name for the concubines. Let's have them. How many is too many? How many is enough? Did it satisfy his lust? No, it didn't. That's why they had that many of them. Abraham, he tried to take his own way, make his own path to get to God, but that wasn't enough to do it. Judas, man, Judas wanted 30 pieces of silver for Jesus. He said, this will satisfy me. Boy, I'm going to sell him out. I'll get 30 pieces of silver and I'll be happy. Was he happy? No, he went out and hung himself. Huh? No, man. I mean, that's the world in a nutshell. That's our life apart from Christ. And listen, anything that says otherwise is nothing but Satan putting a lie in your head, or this world putting a lie in your head, huh? That we're complete in Christ. We got everything we need in Christ. This is all we need, really. That's it. Think about it. We think we need all kind of things. We don't have to have really nothing but Christ. And those are the most satisfied people that you ever meet, the people that are full of Christ. We don't have to have all kind of other things in the world. Listen, there's other things that are nice. You know, people. I've said people, and Brother Dwayne Dillard, he said the same thing. I said, people call, well, what kind of stuff do you have for the kids? What kind of stuff do you have for the young married couples? What kind of stuff do you have for the seniors? We got the same thing for all three: Jesus. That's what we got. We got Jesus. We're going to give them the Word of God. Man, listen, we're sad. When we have him, everything else is just fluff. It doesn't really mount up to a hill of beans. We've got Christ, and we're satisfied. So, number one, there's the sin insufficiency is the sin of unbelief. That's the only, not believing that in the sufficiency of Christ. I couldn't figure out how to write that heading to make it fit any better than it did, so that's how it came out. And then there's the sufficiency of salvation. You know, when Jesus was about to give up the ghost on the cross, he said what? He said, it is finished. All the work that needed to be done. Huh? You don't have to beat yourself with the scourge. Huh? You don't have to, you don't have to do penance. You don't have to do, I mean, I know repentance is involved in faith, but I mean, we don't have to do so many things and pray so many times. Pray this prayer 7 days for 7 weeks and seven times a day, and something's going to happen. It's, man, everything, he said, it's finished. He endured the scourge, the humiliation, the crucifixion. He shed his blood. He said, it's finished. The work, all the work, the sufficiency and salvation. Nothing else need to be accomplished. We're saved by grace through faith. And that not of yourselves is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2:8-9. That's it. And all man has to do is put faith and believe and trust what Jesus has done. It's not faith even plus baptism. We ought to be baptized. I mean, that's what the Bible tells us. I mean, to be obedient, but we're not. It's not the thief on the cross didn't get baptized. And I've argued with people, the waterheads. They think, oh man, you got to. It's baptism's involved in your salvation process. Listen, what Jesus did was enough. Huh? Oh well, it's part of it. Thief on the cross. Well, that was before the church. Listen, which I don't believe that. I'm one that holds to the church was established already, just empowered on the day of Pentecost. You may not believe that, but, you can be wrong, and that's okay. I believe he had a called out ecclesia before the day of Pentecost. That's who the church had. The Holy Spirit fell on who? Not everybody. Fell on the ecclesia, the called out, the 120. He fell on the disciples only, not everybody that was there. So he already had a called out assembly on the day of Pentecost. And that's all church means anyway. Ecclesia. But anyhow, that's okay if you want to believe differently. I know some good people that believe it. I'll try to get them straight, but they just won't listen. But it's not faith plus baptism. It's not faith plus, doing some extracurricular thing. You don't have to have Jesus and Mary. You just need to have Jesus. That's it. I say faith and repentance. I know they go together, but true faith produces repentance. Saving faith always produces repentance. It does. We don't repent to get saved. We repent because we are saved or in the process of being saved. It produces, it's a product of salvation. Human philosophy, reasoning, intellect, it doesn't add anything to the cross. Nothing. Doesn't add a thing to it. The cults, you know how the cults operate. The cults always have, say in Hinduism, there's these like plateaus. You're trying to get to nirvana. It's this super spiritual state. That's when, and when you get there, you sit there on the floor with your legs crossed, with your arms up going, when you get to nirvana. I don't know why you'd want to get there. But what it is, my point is, this is what they do. They always have a level to get to. All right, when you get to that level, you're all happy. And then there's the next level. And then you're always, they keep you reaching to something that you'll never get to. And that's how they hold you. Huh? It's like the carrot in front of the horse thing. The horse is always running after the carrot, but he never catches it. Boy, look at that. That's in the world too, right? Trying to get satisfied, complete. It's everything. We're never getting, boy, if I had this, I'd just be happy. Boy, if I got a raise up to this amount of money, I'd be happy. If I had this car, I'd be happy. If I had that house, I'd be happy. Yeah, for about 3 months, huh? That'd be it. That's what the cults do that. But Christ is enough. He's suddenly you're complete in him. I believe this is in layman's terms. Wait, God created us with the empty place, a bone missing in us, in our head, somewhere in our heart, to where we're never satisfied till we find Christ. And if you're not satisfied, the missing thing could be. It could be Christ himself. Amen. This is it. The third thing is sufficient for spirituality. Verse 10, again, complete in him. The fullness of Christ. Listen, the fullness of Christ, that is spirituality. When you're full of Christ, spirituality, I don't know how to say it. It's a thing, but it's not like, we're not really looking for that. We're looking for, we're full of Christ. And spirituality is the outcome of that. This is just the way it is. It's his life in our life. We are crucified with Christ, yet not I, but Christ that lives within me. Huh? In the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's his life. Living in our, that's spirituality, that's what it is. And so, sometimes I think people, and I look back when I first got saved, and I think this is probably me. Take probably out. This was me. Attaching salvation to things that they do or don't do. That's how I looked at it. If anything, and I know we teach a separated life. and repentance and those things with the freedom that we have in Christ. And we're probably on this line where we get into legalism and liberality. We're trying to stay on it. And sometimes you get a little more into the legalistic side of things. I understand that. But see, we evaluate ourselves. We say, well, you know I'm saved because I don't drink, smoke, cuss, go to places I shouldn't go to. Or I know that I'm saved because, boy, I go to church every Sunday and I got a Bible and I read my Bible and I pray and I'm there at all the meetings and all those things. I'll do that. We attach our spirituality to that. Now, I believe if you're saved, you know you ought to go to the meetings. I mean, you ought to go to church. There's no such thing in the New Testament, by the way, as a Christian that wasn't attached to a church. The Lord added daily such as were being saved. He added daily to the church such as were being saved. There wasn't no such thing as a Christian that was away from church. They were there and they were at church every day because that's what they wanted to do. Their want-to's kind of changed. But I understand that. I believe that ought to be it. But that's not what gave them their spirituality. It was because they had Christ, they were complete in Him, that they were spiritual people, and then that the doing and not doing part came from that. But, you know, we was like, man, I got to do this and I got to do that. Man, I tell you what, I was under the law, man. I was under a burden. Boy, if I know I need to do this, but my want to, there was times, man, I would tell you, I went to church and I didn't want to go. I'm going to tell you what, I didn't want to go, but I knew I should go. And I was going to get, you know, I'd be convicted by man if I didn't go to church, probably by God too. But I would think, boy, you know, I need to go and I didn't want to go. It wasn't like I was running to church because I love God. It wasn't like I was running to church because I wanted to worship Him and I wanted to praise Him and I wanted to glorify Him. You know, I couldn't get, I was just like, don't do some things. I shouldn't do these other things. My way down inside, I wanted to do them, huh? Huh? I wanted to do them things. Man, I tell you what, man, it was it. I wanted to go partying with my buddies. But I said, well, I shouldn't be doing that because I got saved. Now, I know God was working in my life, but my heart was still trying to be changed, man. God was still working on it. It wasn't the fullness of Him. I wasn't full of Him, man. And I said, man, I was just thinking about it, man. I didn't want to make God look bad, and that's probably not a bad thought. But I just, you know, I can't do that because, you know, I'm not supposed to, and there I won't be a, you know, but in inside it was such a misery. It was a miserable thing. You know, not doing what you want to do and doing what you didn't want to do. As, you know, I did that too. So listen, you know, do we evaluate our spirituality by the things that we do or don't do? I mean, is that really what the Bible's teaching us to do? I mean, maybe to some degree it kind of does teach us that, but I mean, it's really legalism. That's not how we evaluate our spirituality. Our salvation is based on a relationship, not on a rule. Amen. It's based on a relationship that, you know, it's like this. I guess if I can break it down far enough, and I've always thought this. Now, the Bible tells us to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman who need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We're to study the Bible. The Bible teaches us that. We should have. We got Sunday school. We got church. We got preaching. And you got a Bible and you read. And we're supposed to do all that. But I'm telling you what, if a man is just filled with the Holy Spirit, you take a man, stick him on an island, and he spoke to God, cried out with what knowledge he had, and he got saved, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Let me tell you something. He's not going to do what he shouldn't do, and he'll do what he ought to do because it's natural. That was it. Without knowing it, he would just do those things. He would. And because he's filled with the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit takes care of all the issues that we have as far as obedience and those type things go. Charles Spurgeon said this, would you be a Christian if there were no 11 o'clock Sunday service? Would you be a Christian if there was no 11 o'clock Sunday service? Something to think about. Because sometimes in people's Christianity, that's all they got. They're here on Sunday, buddy, and that's it. And when they go back home, there's no difference in their life and the world's life. That's just the way it is worldwide. Christ is sufficient. We're complete in Him. The fourth thing is sufficient for life. You know, Christ's sufficiency means you don't have to worry. You don't have to worry. Ain't two things you got to worry about. There's two, huh? they say there's 40 million people in America, 40 million claim to suffer from anxiety. 40 million. Now listen, I think we live in the greatest nation in the world. I've lived overseas, so I'm probably, anybody that's been overseas, you got more of an expertise on this deal. There's some good countries out there. I wouldn't mind living in like Dubai or something. They say everybody that lives in Dubai is millionaires. they got all that oil money. But I mean, we're the greatest nation. That's why all the people coming. No other nation's got a border crisis. Everybody wants to come to America because we're capitalists, not because we're socialists, by the way. Throw that in there. No extra charge. They come because we're capitalists. They can make some money, right? But they went, here we are in America, and we got a lot of resources. I lived in Italy, and I'm telling you what, man, the power might go out. You might get it in a month. Nobody cared about working on anything, doing anything, and the roads were rough. Nothing lit up. You know, you had to watch driving there. You go to pull off the road, you better be careful. There might be a dump truck sitting on the side of the road with nothing lighting it up. We got it. I mean, and there's all kind of help for people that are struggling financially or with housing and all kind of things. There's all kinds of help in this country. But we got 40 million people suffering with anxiety. What do you think the problem is? Don't have Christ. A lot of them don't have Christ. That's what the problem is. All this other stuff. The opposite of anxiety is trust. See, and there's a lot of Christians. Christians are big worry warts, but I think it's a trust problem. They're not living in the fullness of Christ. They're not living, walking in the Spirit. They're walking in the flesh. And so what happens? It causes us worry. Sufficiency in Christ means that we're free. We're free from being slaves to sin, free from having to be good enough. We don't have to pay our debt. You know, we don't have to do anything to pay the debt to God that we owe. The wages of sin is death. Because Christ did it all. God supplied His Son. God supplied His Word. God supplied His Holy Spirit. We have all of them today. We don't need a 10-step plan. We just need Christ. That's all we need. We don't need a priest because we have direct access to God. Christ is enough because of Christ, and we have that. You don't receive joy, peace, and truth by getting a Ph.D. You don't get it. No, it's by receiving Christ. This is it. We're complete in Him. This is the missing link. Sufficiency of Christ means we have good news to share. Man, we got good news to tell people. We have a Christ to share with the world. Everything God sends is enough. Everything. You go through the Bible. Remember in the Old Testament? They got up every morning. What was they going to eat? They're going to get some manna, wasn't they? Huh? He said, listen, all you had to do, and the way to show it, this is what he told him. He said, listen, don't collect enough for tomorrow. Just collect enough for today. If you eat it, if you get too much, it's going to rot, right? It's not going to. What was he saying? Trust me. Tomorrow there'll be some manna out there for you. Trust me. It was enough. He supplied it. It was going to be enough for the day. Everything. When they needed rain, God sent just enough. They got the rain. Remember that meal, that barrel of meal and that cruse of oil the one woman had? She said, I just got enough to make a couple cakes. We're going to eat it, and then we don't know where the rest of our food's going to come from. We're probably going to die. And Elijah said, well, listen, give me that meal and make me a little cake thereof. And I'll tell you what, and the whole time that drought went on, that cruse of oil never went away. And that barrel of meal, they kept getting. Now look, the size of the barrel didn't change because it pictured Christ, see? The size of the cruse didn't change. It just kept coming. Huh? It was enough. Everything that God sends is enough. Huh? Boy, when they had them people and they said, well, we only got a couple fishes and a few loaves here to feed this great crowd. He said, let me have it. Prayed over and started breaking it up and said, go out there and feed everybody. And when it got done, it said to 12 apostles, there was 12 baskets full of leftovers. Baskets full of leftovers. Huh? Never ran out. It was enough, man. It was enough. Everything about God, everything about Jesus Christ is enough. It's enough. So I'm going to ask you this question in closing. You know, do you feel like there's something missing in your life? You know, is there some kind of hole that you just never can? Huh? I got one. It's called a stomach. And that thing never sometimes is not satisfied and it should be. But is there something missing in your life? Let me tell you something. The only thing, Christ is everything that you need, and really the only thing. Amen. Really the only thing. He's enough. Because the Bible teaches we're complete in Him. That's all you need. All the other things are nice, but we just need Christ. Amen. Let's all stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word today. And thank you for that completeness. And help us all to realize, Lord, I mean, we search in some time, even as Christians, Lord, we don't realize all we have in you. And help us, help our eyes to be open to that fact that we have everything we need in you. And be satisfied that we can be satisfied, Lord. And everything will flow from that to others. And help us be that witness in the world we need to be. It's my prayer this morning, if somebody here not sure about their salvation, or they just know they need to be saved, they know that they don't have you, Lord, that you'll speak to their heart about it. We know nothing's accomplished here without you, Lord, and you're enough for that as well. Your Holy Spirit can do the work. I pray you work during our invitation time. In Jesus' name, I pray, amen.